welcome to our Downton Abbey podcast. My name is Lord Jock.
And Lady Cynthia.
You are Lady Cynthia?
Yes.
I said, I'm Lord Jack.
And I said, and Lady Cynthia.
I'm Lord Jack and Lady Cynthia? I'm both? That's what it sounded like. I said, I'm Lord Jack, and you said,
and I said, and I,
no,
and I'm.
No, no, you didn't say I'm. You said, and Lady Cynthia. So I'm Lord Jack and Lady Cynthia. I do both.
I'm sorry, honey. You can't even stand in my shadow.
Oh, whoa. Well, can you cook better than Mrs. Hughes?
Yes.
Okay. I don't think I've ever criticized your cooking, have I?
No, I don't think I've ever complained. I think you would even eat it if I served dog poop.
Yeah, that's a better word than they used the last time. I had to go back
and
edit out.
I'm not used to having this kind of thing. I can't be myself. Every time I say something you don't like, you stop me, you edit it, you redo it.
That's the beauty of not doing it live. Try recording with Russ when you cringe every time he says something. You go, ugh! And you go, oh, you can't say that, Russ. I can't say that.
Let's not talk about Russ.
Anyway. If you enjoy this podcast.
And many more.
And many more like it. Like Survivor, which is coming back. The Ramblecast, which was just released yesterday. The Leftovers podcast. The Amazing Race podcast. Game of Thrones. And hundreds and hundreds. And The Married
and
Man.
Three Stupid Men.
Married Man. Sports Talk with Three Stupid Guys. The Walking Dead, which returns next week with Three Stupid Guys. You can go and help support this podcast. By going to, at least I don't go back and edit myself out. Go back.
Because you think you're perfect.
No, I don't think I'm perfect. I know I'm not. You can.
Oh, I have that in recording now. Okay, you can what? Go ahead. I'm sorry, I'm interrupting you.
Can go back and you can go and support this podcast on patreon.com/JandJack. And like I said, it's perfect. As you can see, we don't edit. Well, I edit some things out, but the intro never gets edited out. Had another episode 6.
Yeah, episode 6. We have three more. Two more and then the finale.
I think it's starting to shape up what's going to happen though.
I know exactly what happens, but I'm not going to tell you. Anyway. I do have to say this episode, if you guys can keep in track of things, I have to say this episode was the best they had Mary look. In the season,
well,
that's what I think.
To impress a guy.
No, but even before she was trying to do that, she always looked so nice. But this was the best I felt she looked.
Trying to make her nicer or
I don't know. I just thought she looked glamorous. Where the last 5 episodes, I didn't like the way they dressed her.
No.
The blue outfit when she came with the blue coat and the hat, that was my favorite. Stunning on her. And not everybody can wear that color. It's a difficult color. I don't think I can wear that color. You have to have a certain skin tone to wear that beautiful blue.
But it was that was when they were by the truck?
By the
car?
Yeah, but they were going to go to London for Anna. Anna.
It's your favorite character.
I just do it on purpose.
You can't get the name right.
I know it's Anna. I just like to give you a hard time.
Anyway, Carson would be appalled here.
Whatever. Okay, so we start.
All right, so we're starting. We got Mosley's passing out something. I don't know what it is yet.
It's flyers.
It's flyers for an open house to the Abbey.
Yes. They're doing a fundraiser.
Doing a fundraiser, which is a cool thing to do.
It's interesting that it was way back then they did fundraisers for hospitals, that they still currently do that.
Yeah. Well, you always need money for hospitals.
Yeah, because you can never have enough equipment and so forth and so on.
You don't. Robert talks with Mary, Tom, and Clarkston and Cora.
About this escapade of touring the Downton Abbey.
Yes.
He just thinks it's nonsense.
Well, and you also had the cool kids downstairs. And like Carson didn't get it. Why is this such a big deal? And even Bates was like, going, what's the big deal? It's a big deal if you've never been part of it. If you see it every day, it's probably not a big deal. I know when we went to go see the White House last year,
yes.
we were like two kids at a candy store.
Absolutely,
it was a big deal for us, and you were so excited when you went in there, and the Secret Service woman that was behind the desk there was looking at us like we're crazy.
Yes,
because she sees it every day.
Yes,
it's no big deal to her.
Right. Or when we went to London and we saw all the things we got to see, the same thing. I was a little disappointed with Buckingham Palace. I thought it was a little bigger on TV.
Yeah. Well, we didn't get to go inside.
No, of course not. I meant the balcony where they all come out and wave and kiss and do all that fun stuff.
But it's like if you're used to, like, we grew up, you know, growing up in San Diego and seeing the beaches and stuff like that, people, oh, my God. You go, yeah, it's a beach.
No, I still feel that way about the beach.
All right, I'm just saying certain things.
Certain things, absolutely.
But, you know, like, we're staring at Big Ben. You see it on TV all the time. People in London looking at it, go, you know, what's the big deal? Because they see it every day.
True.
So that was my point, is like, you go in the White House, it's a cool deal to go in. It's a big deal, I thought, to go in the White House. And they were like, you know, it just, but if you see it every day, yeah, what is the big deal?
Right. But everybody around us felt the same way we felt.
Yeah, we were all excited.
I mean, I think that was the coolest part, is I don't know what their affiliation was as far as their party goes, but you could just, nobody cared. We were just so excited. And we all basically said the same thing. Would it be cool if President Obama walked by? And we're like, yeah. And I, you know, we were all different.
And he didn't.
No, of course not. Because the lady next to me told me that she checked and he wasn't there.
Martha's Vineyard, right?
Yeah. So
Martha's Vineyard was more important than seeing us at the White House.
But still, I would shake his hand. I would shake any president's hand, no matter what he was. It's an honor. There's only how many are there? 43 of them?
44. Well, he's the 44th.
Right. So there's 44. To me,
soon to be 45.
I would.
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, I don't care what is. Even if I didn't vote for you, I would shake his hand. It's like when Jay got to meet President Clinton at his school. That was the coolest thing.
Yep.
We were all gung-ho about it. Yeah. So anyway.
It's just a big deal. It's a cool thing. It was a cool thing to go in the White House.
Correct.
It was really cool.
And knowing who lived there and all that stuff. Anyway.
Yeah, and the history behind it.
Yeah, going back.
Robert just thinks the idea is crackers.
Yeah, crackers.
Cracker. They had a lot of funny lines. Of course, they had.
Which I think some of the lines they still use today.
Swanky.
They still use that. I think they use cranky. I love that name.
The cool kids talk about the Abbey also. Violet Isabel talk about visiting the Abbey. And I think Isabel basically summed up what we were thinking and saying, well, of course you don't think it's a big deal. This is you lived it. You grew up in this.
Right.
For Isabel, it's a big deal.
Right.
She didn't grow up in this type of stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
Violet and Isabel how's Lord Merton doing?
Yes. I thought that was for the two of them. You know, it kind of cracks me up, like how you would talk today, you know, with your best friend, your BFF. Right. And it was kind of cool. Like, you know, she's like, yeah, whatever. You know, it's just like,
they would text each other.
Yeah. But I just,
how's Lord Merton doing?
But it was just like, again, it's a neat to see.
Emoji,
if you all have watched this show, which I'm sure most of you that are listening have, from the beginning of where she felt about Mrs. Crawley and where she is today, I think it's really cool to see how much their relationship has grown.
Right.
And everything.
They're buddies.
Yeah. They're companions.
Even though they don't see eye to eye.
On many things.
And the lighted one, they don't. Right. They really don't see eye to eye.
Right.
Daisy helps Mr. Mason put a picture up of William.
I know. I thought that was a great part right there.
Yeah.
You know, I thought that was interesting.
It's giving a shout out to William. Yeah. You know, even though we've heard his name a couple times, we actually get to see him again.
Right.
And, you know, and Daisy talks with Mr. Mason, still kind of being, now I'm getting what people are seeing. I'm on the side with people. Well, we'll get into it later on.
Okay.
Carson brings Robert a meal.
Yes, and he has a little thing of swine stuck in his pocket. Wine.
And Robert goes, I can't drink it. He can't drink it. He won't drink it anymore.
But I was told that I didn't think ulcers were brought on by stress.
Yeah, that's what I get. That's what I've always heard was.
No, because you know my grandma had an ulcer at 92, and I'm like, how could she have an ulcer? What's her?
I think it affects stress affects people in different ways.
Okay,
I don't know. It's probably what your diet and probably a combination.
Yeah, I would think
everything.
Your diet has to do with it because when you're having those issues, they tell you not to eat X, Y, and Z. So I bet it's more that.
I only eat Z, Y, E.
Okay,
not X, Y, Z.
Okay.
Robert says no to the wine.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sorry, my handwriting is really atrocious today.
I'm sorry.
He talks with Carson
about
simplifying the staff.
Well, he talks a little bit about them coming up. What's this whole thing about, you know, but, you know, this is what Mary wants to do, so we're doing it. And then he talks about simplifying staff. And I think it was funny when he says, you know, what are they going to do? See, you know, what's her face? Violet.
Knitting.
And then Mary and bathing. And then Carson's look was hilarious.
Carson was not happy with that.
No.
Talking about his child.
Yes.
And Robert kind of felt, maybe I shouldn't have gone there. Went one joke too far. Daisy didn't give Patmore Mr. Mason's note.
Yes.
What a jerk. Now you're starting to see the case. Daisy's getting over the you can see why there's a Daisy hate now.
No.
Are you going to still defend her?
Yes.
You're still going to defend Daisy after all this?
Yes. I just think she's very. Has anybody never dealt with jealousy and the things that you do when you're jealous? I'm not saying her behavior is okay to treat him that way, but and also Mrs. Patmore, who has treated her like she's a daughter to her.
Right.
But you can understand why she's acting like that. I'm not saying her behavior is okay.
Okay. All right. I can live with that.
All right.
Thomas wants a word with Andy later on.
Yes. Well, Thomas is going to start helping him to read.
All right. Well, we know that. But nobody else, the cool kids, don't know that. Cora and Robert talk about Violet and the hospital.
Yes, because they, well, before that, she went to, right? Is that the one before that where they told her what's going on with the hospital?
Oh, probably, yeah. I don't know if
you didn't put that down about them sitting down, Dr. Coxon and them talking about, is that part of the show?
No, not yet. We're not there yet.
Then what were they talking about?
She's just talking about that because she's saying how, you know, Mama can be so, you know, strong and how, you know, she's not a good loser and all right. that different stuff. Let's see. Bates and Anna talk. Anna's not feeling well.
Well, you know, they want to have a little fire because they earned it.
Yeah, but she doesn't want to have fire.
But she's feeling a little, not tired, but something's going on. She just knows it's not right.
Well, to build fire, you probably only have so much wood, right?
Oh, maybe that's what it that is. Way.
No, well, hey, we got our three lumps of logs over here. So
I never thought of it that
three
way.
Lumps of logs, three logs, whatever it is. I don't know. I'm sure they have more than one, three logs. Just saying.
True.
Carson helps walk. Carson and Hughes walk and talk. Carson doesn't like the way Hughes makes coffee.
Well, no, he wants to know, can we have coffee? He's not very.
He never has a second cup of coffee at home. He doesn't like Folger's coffee.
I just think it's quite amazing that Mrs. Hughes is the head of everybody, but yet she doesn't know how to do half the things that she's supposed to do, like fold it, put. You know, make the bed properly, well, make coffee,
let's be fair.
Shine the stuff. Doesn't she have to train everybody?
But she's
the headmistress.
But she doesn't. She probably hasn't trained anybody in years. I'm sure Anna does the train. You know, it's the people under her do the training. She probably hasn't done any of this stuff in years.
But if they're not doing it right, she has to reprimand. How could she reprimand if it's not done right?
I think Carson is a little bit up. I think Carson thinks he's staying still at the Abbey.
Okay.
I think that's the problem here.
All right.
I think he's a little bit too uppity for his own good.
Okay.
That's just me. Anna talks with Mary.
Yeah.
Mary says, oh, we're going to go to London.
Yes.
And we'll pay for it. No. Isabel Clarkson and Cora talk.
That's where we get the talk.
You know, and Cora's like,
awkward turtle.
So they're going to combine the hospital with York.
Yes. And they want.
They want Cora to be the president. Sacking Violet.
Yes.
And
that's got to be uncomfortable. It's like, you know, I can't imagine if I was replacing your mom. Awkward. I would say no, thank you.
No, thank you. I wouldn't do that because it's a rough thing to do.
Yeah,
it's family. You don't do that. But
and someone that's like you know in the chain of command and in a family, there's a chain of command too. And your mom's above me, and I'm just like,
well,
no,
I like
thank
the
you.
Fact that Cora said, and you want me to do more work than that. But I think Cora likes the opportunity to do it.
I would agree.
She wants to do more.
Well, you know, she ran the place when they had the war, and you know, she ran the Abbey with all the different. Hospital stuff and all the functions and the scheduling right. and everything. So I'm sure that was fun to do all that kind of stuff. And, you know,
yeah. Mary is on the telly when Tom walks in.
Yes.
And Tom kind of kids her about, you know,
yes.
Henry and stuff like that. Mary dares Tom to come to London.
He deserves some time off. He haven't had any time off at all. I'm thinking, well, you just went to U.S. Wasn't that some time off?
Well, isn't this? Yeah, I didn't think about that. But here's an amazing thing. And probably took 2 months to come back, right?
True.
So. You have to dare someone to go to London? Again, that's us looking at, well, I would love to go to London again.
Right.
Dare me. Dare me to go to London. George is cheering up Thomas.
Yes.
And Thomas goes, Mary goes, do you need cheering up, Thomas? Well, we all need cheering up sometimes.
Yeah, I think it's a cute relationship. I like the two of them together. It's nice to see that side of Thomas.
Yeah, he does have a good side to him. Mary talks with Robert about Thomas.
Yes.
You know, first she's bringing Tom because yes. Tom needs some time off. And Mary talks about Robert. You know, he's good with the kids.
Yes.
Do something with the, so is he going to do a job with the kids? Is he going to be like the new nanny?
Oh, I don't know.
What's going on here? Mary tells Bates not to worry about Anna.
And that's she's wearing that great outfit.
Yeah. But Bates wants to pay.
Yeah, he's a man. He wants to be the,
I'm going
to
pay.
Exactly.
And then when Mary gets caught, I'm not sending him the bill. And Tom goes, you're insulting his manhood. You got to.
Yes, exactly.
And then Anna turned around. Thank you, Mr.
Mr. Branson.
Mr. Branson. I forgot his name. I haven't called him Branson in so long. Jeez. Let's see. Carson talks with Thomas about his job situation.
Yes. Well, they're all talking downstairs about how they were going to, what was this part? Is this the part where they were talking about something? And he says something and then he goes, have you found a job yet? Is that the part?
Found a job. Have you found any, blah, 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 blah.
What's that? Blah, 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 blah.
Blah, 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 blah. And he's not yet, Mr. Carson. Carson insults Mrs. Hughes cooking again.
Yes.
Mosley talks.
I don't see them staying together long, and I don't even know what's going on. But
yeah, it's just, well, you can see she's getting frustrated.
Yes.
Mosley talks with the headmaster. You know, it's funny, this year Mosley's not the comic relief.
No.
Mosley is
I really like what they did with Mosley this season.
They made him less the comic relief. Yeah. He's not the guy we feel sorry for
because
he's
right. I agree.
He's got a focus. He's, you know, he's I think maybe because they then just come out of the blue, he has a relationship with Baxter. He's he found his, you know, we found out his calling was to be
a teacher.
And he so he's I like they've made him not a goofball.
Right. I do too.
Even though I do miss some of the stuff they did with him, like the dark hair and stuff like that. But he's become, he's not the comic relief. Like
exactly.
Yes, Mosley, if he wants to help.
Well, he wants to find out what he knows. And he's not really promising him anything because you don't want to promise if you can't.
Right.
You know.
I'm not going to give you a job if you are.
So he always says, launch your ticket test and can get time off. Let me see what you
just
really
don't
know.
Put the dark stuff in your hair. Violet visits Robert.
Yes.
And it's a nice visit that she was, you know, if she was called upon different situations, it might have been something worse, but no, they talk.
Yep.
And she's the president.
Yes. And she's, you know, once she needs to cut the ribbon
or
do this or do that because, you know, she is in charge of the people in the hospital.
Point, Cora tried to say something.
I know.
But Violet kept talking and Robert goes, oh, we don't need to cut the ribbon ceremony. We just have to open up the hospital.
Open up the Abbey.
Thomas talks with Andy.
Yes, and he's going to start showing him how to.
And then
read.
Mrs. Patmore sees it, goes, So Anna is fine.
Yeah, everything's good. I thought that was funny. Like, oh, I thought I'm going to have to dress myself.
Which I put is great because she's just in time to dress Lady Mary. Now, what if Anna came and said, I'm not supposed to do any heavy lifting like a dress? Would Mary go, well, who's going to dress me?
No, I think she would have. I think Mary would have stepped up and done it.
Okay. They talk about Thomas and Marigold. She's still on the Marigold.
Yes,
pit.
She is.
And
so you think Anna knows?
She knows something. She has to know something.
Huh.
She doesn't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
And yeah, because Mary's still on that Marigold thing.
Yeah.
Cora and Robert talk. Cora wants the job.
Yep. And I don't think Robert wants her to do it.
No, he says, basically, you know, Cora says, well, you're saying I'm too old. No, that's not what I'm saying. No.
I think sometimes, you know, I don't think men really understand when you know, when your children, not that they don't need you, but it's a different stage in your life with them.
And she goes, I raised my two kids.
Yeah, I raised my girls.
Edith.
Yeah. And it's time to, you know, do something different, you know? You want to have a purpose, a meaning, you know, what do you do, sit around, just do nothing?
Right. Lady Mary and Tom talk about Marigold.
Yes.
And she says, you know, I wouldn't be happy if
you kept a secret from me. It would be a betrayal.
Betrayal? But is it a betrayal? But it'd be a betrayal to Edith.
Yeah, I know.
So he's kind of like stuck in the middle.
Yeah, he is. It's uncomfortable.
Yeah. Mary is not a war widow.
No.
Yeah, she makes entrance to the room. The surprise for Henry.
Yes.
Henry seemed happy about it. Was it Napier?
Yes.
He still likes
her.
Oh,
he wants her.
He's like, oh, but she wants Henry, even though I got more money. But I'm boring. So Henry wins out. Henry talks to Mary about Mary all the time.
Yes.
All the time.
I hope they get together.
He goes, well, she really doesn't know me that. She doesn't. That's unusual because he doesn't know that much about me.
Yes.
Carson wishes he had ordered a pizza.
So you wrote. He wishes he had some, you know, lemons or then some tartar sauce or
is
no.
Is the duck skin going to be crispy like Mrs. Patmore?
Yes.
No.
Poor Mrs. Hughes. Poor Mrs. Hughes.
She slams the salmon down.
And they're not having wine because, you know, he doesn't want to do that. It's his commander and blah, blah, blah.
Well, he just feels a loyalty to, if Robert's not going to drink, then we're all not going to drink.
Yeah, I guess so.
And so Mrs. Hughes is looking, going, this is crazy. Lady Mary and Henry go out for a walk after, well, first Tom was, oh, well, that's a good idea.
Yeah, and then Mary looks at her like, what?
He goes, oh, you know what? I got some reading to do, so I got to get home a little quicker than you guys. So you guys go on your walk. I'll take the cab. It starts to rain. They go into the little
I thought it was
bend,
a great little moment.
And
to
they
see them.
Kiss.
Yes, it was good. It was perfect. I loved
and they
it.
They played the Kissing Mary music.
Yes.
Mary Kissing Music, whatever it is. Mary asks Tom, why is he playing Cupid? Why are you playing Cupid, Mary?
I think Tom has always kind of played that role when he brought Matthew back to Mary.
Right, yeah.
You know?
Good point.
You know, and I really think that that's something that he's always done, and he knows Mary pretty well, and he wants to, you know, he wants her happy, and he knows her, so
he
knows she
his,
could be a bit of a pill.
He says, so. My sister.
Yes.
Mary says, Edith is stupid to saddle herself with a child. What guy is going to want her when she's saddled with a child? Correct me if I'm wrong. Mary has a child.
But I think she's thinking it differently.
But Mary has
it's
a
her
child.
Relation. So she doesn't think that that's her relation. So
I can see that. But Mary does have it. Mary has a child.
True.
So what, you know.
I see your point, but I don't understand either.
All right. And then Bertie arrives at the Abbey.
Yes.
Lady Edith picks him up. They kiss. Yes. Blah, 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 blah.
I think they're perfect for each other.
They are. Even though he's boring, of course, to everyone else. Lord Merton talks with Isabel. And I think her name's Amelia.
Yeah, they brought his future daughter-in-law comes over.
She's engaged to Larry.
Yes.
And I think Lord Merton's doing this on purpose.
Huh.
Lord Merton's doing, he's trying to, because you can see Isabel. Oh, Larry. Larry.
I think you'll find out in the next episode what it's all about.
And then Amelia says, come on, we all don't dislike you. I think you're seeing it differently. Larry's changed. Larry's a new guy.
Well, again, you'll understand it more. I don't want to talk too much about it, but you'll understand it more in the next.
Just don't say anything.
Let's just be quiet and move on.
They talk about Daisy's schoolwork. The cool kids are. Daisy stops, snaps at Mrs. Patmore about Mr. Mason.
Yes.
He doesn't need to see you. He doesn't need to thank you.
Well,
he doesn't need
this. Isn't this a part where he thought it would be nice for him to come over and watch Daisy do the test and be there and bring sandwiches?
He doesn't have time for that. He doesn't need sandwiches. He doesn't eat. Leave him alone.
I think Mrs. Patmore knows what's going on. But then, of course,
I think she's,
of course, Anna, you know, defends her. So, you know, she's just nervous. And then Mrs. Patmore, I think it's a little bit more nervous.
Yes. I might slip with my knife today when I'm chopping something and slice up Daisy. So Bertie and Edith check in on the children.
Yes, they. And I really like this little scene. You know, it's cute how she's just introducing the kids.
They
and
say
then,
the nannies. Yeah. That's got to be a boring job for the nanny. Just watch
them
sleep.
She's just the whole time asleep. She hasn't.
Don't they just get
time.
One of those things where it has like the monitor and they can watch the monitor? She could be in a different room, maybe watching TV or something like that on the computer.
Do you think, though, they really stayed up there the whole time? Like while they were sleeping? How is she going to get sleep? Do they have like a night nurse
probably,
and a morning
probably
nurse?
Probably have shifts. I'm sure they. I would assume they do. She was.
So sitting
she
sits
in the chair
there the whole time.
Well, if they have to get up and go to the restroom, somebody has to help them
They're
go to the restroom.
Sleeping.
Right? Well, kids wake up to the night. They have bad dreams. You can't expect Lady Mary, Edith. Well, Edith would probably get up and help Marigold. But
they must have a night person and a morning person, a night nanny probably, and a morning
they
nanny.
They probably have three. Probably 8-hour shifts and probably take turns. Perhaps they have more than that. Would you do that 7 days a week? I guess you would.
Wow.
Back then. Anyway, so but Bertie says, God bless you, Marigold. God bless us, everyone.
I thought that was weird, though, wasn't it? I just thought that was an odd part to say that.
Maybe he knows.
Oh, never thought of it that way.
Know. I'm just throwing it out.
Okay.
I have no idea. Let's see. Mr. Mason brings Mrs. Patmore some veggies.
Yes. This is the part where I was like, okay, Daisy, now you're coming across a little bitchy. Oh, I said a bad word,
that's
didn't
fine. I? We have plenty of vegetables. We have the best garden in the town. You don't need these vegetables. Ah! Miss Patmore goes, I can make some soup with it. I appreciate the vegetables. I can do some stuff with this.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Mason. Because she knows what's going on now.
So, yes, she does.
So now Mrs. Patmore's like going, you better back off, Daisy. This is my man. At dinner, they talk about the
what they're going to do for the open house.
And Bertie's going on, and they're looking at like going, we have to do this. We have to, you know, keep people from stealing things. And again, going back to the White House, it was what made it more enjoyable. There were people in each room.
Yeah, and that would give you some of the history you could ask.
You could ask, or they would. Sometimes you're looking at something. They would just
walk
give you
over
the
and tell you the history.
Tell you the history behind that, and because you're looking at going, it would have something inscribed on it.
Right,
you know,
right.
Like, okay, this was James Madison, Dolly Madison stuff. But it would tell you what. So you're not just walking in the room going, huh. Wonder who used this room.
Right.
They would tell you who
frequented
the room.
It was you're right. You can understand why they would have that in each person's room.
Yeah, and the people at the Abbey are like, they're like going, well, we don't know the history. And I would be honest with you. Anyone that's staying at the White House, if I walked in there and asked them a question, if they didn't know some of the history, because you saw it on the West Wing sometimes.
Right.
They'd ask them about this room, like there was the Teddy Roosevelt's room or whatever the room. I don't know. It's just the room we go into. They're not knowing the history of the place you're in. Of a place that you're working in of that magnitude, I would think you should know something.
I'd agree. And that's surprising because I thought that was passed down from generation to generation, so they didn't speak about it, talk about it. Aren't those all those pictures different relatives?
I would think so, yeah. But they didn't know a lot of. I could see some of the stuff.
Yeah, but they didn't know a lot. That really surprised me.
Yeah, because they become complacent and their lives are going outside the Abbey. Maybe that's, you know, they're
good point.
Doing
I
other things, but. I was a little disappointed that they didn't know some of the history. To talk about the game plan, Cora The cool kids also have talked about their game plan.
Yes, what they're going to do.
And Carson gets a walking cane, just in case
anybody gets that line. I love this. What are you going to do? Hit your fellow man?
Yeah. Going to beat somebody. Robert and Cora talk about Birdie. Is he good enough for Edith? What's his prospects? Edith is happy. That's all that matters, yes. Robert. Mr. Carson sees Andy coming out of Thomas's room.
Yep.
He goes, what are you doing? I borrowed a book. And, of course, he has no, what book? Oh, I must have left it in there. I'll get it tomorrow. Bad alibi.
Yes,
bad alibi.
I agree.
There, Andy. They set up for the open house. They're all getting working hard. And, you know, Thomas does work hard.
Yes.
When Thomas is working, he's working hard. He's got, of course, he's hurt his reputation by all the stuff he's done, but he is a hard worker. The people in line are, they're not happy about the wait. It's like they need the fast pass at Disneyland. How, well, we've been here all day. How long do we have to wait? Been here since 9 o'clock. But I do agree, you have to, you know, our White House tour, they only let so many people in, and then you have to wait for the next group to go in. You don't want a big crowd.
Right.
You want to be able to see everything.
And I feel like you're being pushed or moved forward.
Right. Because we could walk, you could walk through your own pace.
Yeah, there was no, and I like that.
So, the family doesn't know much about the history of the Abbey.
No.
Oh, well, I'm not,
Yes.
I think, you know, the whole time they just let their servants and everyone else, because Mosley.
But I was surprised Mr. Mosley was going to say something, so he must know a lot about it.
He must know, because he probably reads.
Yeah.
He probably, because he was going to say something, but.
They wasn't allowed
didn't
to
see him.
Yeah. Speak up.
Violet comes in.
Awkward.
She's not happy with Cora.
No. Love the jacket. She wears love that color, Violet.
And she was just mad, and I agree with her.
Yes.
They should have told her. But there's some people in life you just don't want to tell things.
Yeah, and I think they knew it was coming from somebody else. They probably thought it was going to be better, but they should have said something to her. That would drive me crazy. I always want to know what's going on. I don't want to find out after the fact.
Yeah, it's like pulling the Band-Aid off.
Yeah, exactly.
You're going to have to do it eventually.
Right.
Just go ahead and do it. Baxter gets a letter. It's from Cole, right?
Yeah, the guy that did the betrayal to her, and he wants to see her.
He wants to visit her.
Yeah, that's...
You think he's going to give the stuff back?
I'm sure he sold it.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just saying, why does he want to see her?
Who knows? Maybe he has a guilty conscience.
I doubt it.
Okay.
I doubt it. Violet.
Or maybe he wants to know what she was going to say at the trial. Or maybe they're telling him why he decided to plead guilty. I don't know.
All right. Violet talks with Robert about Cora. She's not happy. Yes. Now, is this... I know Violet's upset, but should she... You know, Robert almost died on the last episode.
But I don't think Violet really cares. I think she was just worried. She was just upset at that moment. Was upset at that moment. And sometimes us women don't always think things through. All I'm right, sorry to say that she, about my fellow
she,
woman.
She was not thinking there. Some kid walks in on Robert's room.
I thought it was a great one. I thought it was a great part. I love that. You know, and that would make sense. I could see that absolutely happening, you know, where somebody would.
Why do you need such a big house?
Yeah, I just thought it was cool. Because
Robert's like going.
Because don't you think you could see a kid straying off and then going up the stairs and being curious?
Well,
so I thought that was a great scene that was written in there.
If you did that at the White House, you'd get shot.
No, I know that, but I really liked that. I thought that was a great scene because it made it seem real.
It did, and I did like Robert's response. Well, it's just how don't you think you're just what you're used to? You know, this is how I don't know any difference.
Yeah.
This is what I...
Yeah, I love the whole little... That was like, I thought it was a great little scene.
Yeah. And I like how when he came in and
Mr. Mosley.
Who are you? And he goes, hey, little cheeky kid.
I know. Should we shake him up, see if he's thinking in his pockets?
No. Patmore tells Hughes that her house is done.
Yes.
And she's excited.
He goes, well, how are you going to do this? What are you going to do that? I thought it was cute, the whole relationship. He goes, I know how the phone works, you know.
Yeah,
but
she's got a phone.
I think it's just so interesting when you think about it. You know, women didn't think to do all those little things that we all do now without even thinking twice about it.
Well,
they weren't
allowed to.
I know. I just think it's so interesting and fascinating.
Cora runs out to talk to Violet. Violet goes, I'm not talking to you.
Yep, she's not done. She's not talking to you.
She
will let her know when she's comfortable talking to her, the traitor of the family.
Lord Merton wanted to introduce his...
No.
And he goes, yeah, whatever.
Whatever.
You guys, you're dead to me. Mosley and Baxter talk about...
His little story about what's going to happen to him, if he's going to go like take the test and what's going on. And.
But she doesn't know. I think he does. What, did you burn the letter? You think he's a little jealous there?
No, I think he's just...
Concerned
I think he's
for
very
her?
Concerned for her.
Carson wants to talk with Thomas. He tells him it's about the news about it. He's not sure what's going on with Andy. My job is to protect Andy. He's young. Does not my word mean anything anymore? And unfortunately,
what did I teach our kids?
One reputation. And Carson said, "No,
when you're a chicken the whole time." You're a duck, but you're disguised as a chicken, and now you want to go back to being a duck. It's hard for someone to believe that you're really still A chicken? Not the chicken.
Chicken, but a duck?
You know, I'm just trying to say, you know, unfortunately, when you have a reputation of being some way, no matter how much goodwill you do,
right.
If you've done so many things this wrong way for so many years, you could do 3 or 4 years of goodwill, and I don't know if you ever will get that reputation
people
back.
People still will
judge you.
Yep.
That's what I teach our kids. Yep. You only have one reputation.
They talk about the money they've raised.
Yes, they raised a lot. And then Tom's like, well, why don't we do it all the time? And we can pay some of these bills.
Well, you have something that is a moneymaker.
But if you know what I thought was a good analogy of that? I didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's okay. I'm used to it.
Because I want to talk about real quick was the reason this whole story and this high cliff was used in the series was for the reason that Tom wanted to have the tours in it. They could not keep the upkeep of this mansion in real life now.
Oh, okay.
So they decided that they would start doing tours of it, and that's how they started to raise money, and then it came about, and this particular mansion has been used in several movies and so forth and so on, and that's how they were able to keep the different costs to keep it going all these years. So I thought it was a cool little tie-in where Tom was bringing into this part saying, hey, look, you know, we have our bills are high. This is an opportunity to maybe, you know, bring in some more money. We made a lot of money here. What's the chance of us doing this a little bit more than what we did this time? And not just for the hospital, but for our own benefit. And I thought it was a good analogy because that's basically what it's doing in modern day today. That's how that they're able to keep that mansion going.
Well, Tom knows that what it's like to have to work.
Right.
And not have money. And they should know because how many times have Robert squandered their money away?
Right.
But yeah, that makes sense because you have this thing that people want to see.
Right.
Why not? Because the White House doesn't charge. I thought they should charge us.
I would agree because some of the spots I thought, could use a little freshen up.
Well, I'm just saying it's just, you know.
Because I think we would pay.
I would have paid.
Yeah.
It cost me money. And people,
but then
the argument is, we pay as taxpayers.
Right.
But I would have paid to go in the White House. Privilege. I want a little more access, though.
I would agree.
I want, you know, okay, I'm going to go see. I want the Oval Office.
Yeah, but I thought, anyways.
If there's a meeting going on, I want to be able to go inside.
I just thought it was really cool, though, when Tom brought it up, and it kind of brought it back to modern today of how it's still, that's how they keep the mansion in good shape and moving forward and able to keep it going.
Yes. And then we end with Thomas crying.
Yeah. And I actually feel like Thomas is changing, and I feel bad, but, you know, you can't. What is it they always say? Can a leopard change their spots? And I don't
stripes.
Know. Stripes. That's
is it
right.
Stripes. Or
spots? I don't know.
I think spots. I don't know.
Anyway, but if there's any young kids listening, remember, you only have one reputation.
One reputation.
It's just like the little boy that cried wolf.
Exactly. No one believed him.
After so many times of crying and it wasn't a wolf.
Well, that was the episode, and we have two phone calls.
Ooh.
Would you like to get into those phone calls?
Yes.
All right, hold on.
Hi, Jack and Cindy. It is Sarah calling for the Downton Abbey podcast. Okay, so we need to talk about Daisy. Cindy, I do understand what you were saying last week about, you know, that this is just something for her. Mr. Mason is hers, and it's hard for her to be okay with getting her two worlds mixed up. I know that that totally makes sense, and I think she is kind of acting childish. But when you put it like that, you know, kind of like a child whose mom or dad is going to get remarried, I can understand it from that perspective. But, man, she just, when she said at the beginning about the houses and how they should all be public so that anybody can go in them, and it's just like, Daisy, come on. Like, you want someone coming into your house while you're eating breakfast and checking out all your things. Like, let's be reasonable. And then not giving Mrs. Patmore the note. That was actually a funny scene, but I just don't know about Daisy. But I did really like that Mosley is looking up, like things might be looking up for Mosley. I'm excited about that. I'm super sad for Thomas. I think it'll be interesting to see how they're going to wrap everything up. I think they've kind of painted a picture of, you know, they can't have as many staff at Downton, and I think they're going to be getting Mosley a job at the school, and Barrow, as Jack and I both know, he's going to have that house, that big house to go to. So I'm excited, and I have to say just real quick that Violet and Robert have become two of my favorite characters, just their faces and their expressions and their lines. They just make me laugh every time. Okay, can't wait to hear what you guys think. I'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Thank you, Sarah, for the call.
Hi, Sarah. I'm so glad you called back. Cool beans. I see
you. You know, I got a nasty note one time for saying cool beans.
Why?
I don't know. Somebody didn't like the fact I said cool beans.
I'm sorry.
It's good. I will always remember that because I said cool beans a couple times, I guess, on a podcast.
Oh, well, anyway, to each his own. But I understand where she's coming from. I always tried to give people the benefit of doubt. I'm not saying that's what you're doing, Sarah, but I always tried to see. My daughters used to always say that I was a mediator. Like if they would come to complain to me about their friends, I wanted them to see the other side of the person.
Or like when they were fighting today.
Yeah, like they're fighting today, even though they're 24 and 26. But anyway,
I actually snuck out of the room. Do you notice?
Yes, I noticed that. But I really think now I don't like her. Like I said again, I don't like her behavior. I don't think Mrs. Patmore deserves to be treated that way. Nor do I like Mr. Why am I drawing a blank on his father's name? What's the
guy? Mason.
Mason. Jeez Louise,
Mr.
old age.
Mr. Mason.
Mr. Mason.
That's my heaven can wait.
But I really think this was the first person who really paid attention to her, loved her, thought of her as special and important.
Well, William.
And she doesn't want to. It's different
William.
About William. William. I think she.
Well,
I
she, didn't, she didn't. She didn't respect William. She respected William, but she didn't love him back.
I think she felt more about him after the fact and right. realized all the things that she did
that
wrong.
Maybe could it be that she's feeling guilty about the way she
no,
treated William?
I don't think it has to do with that. I think it has to do with that one conversation that Mr. Mason and her had about that she was her daughter-in-law and that they were family. And don't you remember that scene where she said, "You know, I never had anybody think of me that way." And they have William. A great, great relationship. It's different. They had a great relationship. It's different. I know it's hard for you to understand because you had parents, but myself being a woman and only had a mother, when you don't have that father figure in your life as a girl, it's really weird when someone is attached to you and takes care of you and steps up and does that father figure. It's like you become a different person, and I think it reverts you back right to that child.
All right. I can
and then I think that's my logic because I can relate to not having that side of a family. So I think that's how you – that attention you finally get, and you don't want to share that.
I get that. Do you think that they're making Daisy out to be the goat to make Thomas look better?
No, I think
make us forget. Oh, we don't like Thomas, but now we're feeling sorry
no,
for Thomas.
No, I think Daisy's getting more education, getting educated,
more educated. So
and I think she's seeing more. I mean, she's reading history, she's reading this, and she's getting out in the world. And her eyes are being open more.
I do agree, though. If you
no,
what
I
she said about the public housing when you
right,
want someone walking,
but don't you think that that's again that is what some will think? Like, don't you think that some sides of the politics feel that you know you don't deserve to be rich? I deserve to have your money too, even though you work for it. So I think that's showing that society back then was that society. I think there is a society of liberals
in England.
I think
everybody should have the opportunity for the same dream.
Absolutely. But I'm saying that doesn't surprise me that she thinks that they should open up to everybody else.
Right.
I think it's the same philosophy that people feel about
I agree with her
liberal and conservative.
Educating herself is opening her mind up to different
yes.
things. And that's probably why she's having problems. She was probably all she wanted to be was the next
yeah.
level, but now she's thinking, I could do better.
Yeah, I could do so much more. And
Mosley has said that.
I think it's so awesome for Miss Mosley because I think the only person that ever, and I really go back to, I'm drawing blanks on names today. What's the Lady Cora's maid's name?
Baxter.
My gosh, Baxter. Do you remember back in the days when Baxter first got
well,
there?
I do. Do you?
And no. And she would say little things to him, like, you know, God, look at everybody must really love you in this area. You have such a great reputation. The town knows you. You have this, you're that. And I think that relationship.
Mosley.
Yeah, Mosley. Baxter was to Mosley when she first met him and worked with him. I think that built the ego that he has today.
So it makes him more confident. And he's not the lovable.
Well, you don't see the comic relief
comic
anymore.
Comic relief guy.
Yeah, because somebody, again, don't you think anybody that's in your corner makes you feel like you're
yeah.
a better person?
Yeah.
So I think that they're showing that evolution of Mosley.
And if you actually have what it takes, and he's a smart guy.
Right.
He was never given that opportunity.
No,
maybe that was part of his frustration.
Because
too.
I think also because, like you told me, their mother was probably this or this, and that's just how they live in the village, and you never go outside that village, so
right.
you don't know any different. And then once your eyes are open, you have those opportunities.
Well, plus it's like things evolve.
I
mean, knowledge involves, like the television,
right.
you know, the world's gotten smaller and smaller because of the internet.
Right.
You know, you seeing things, and you can see, there's just life has changed.
Right.
Instead of where. It used to be where people didn't, you know, wherever they were born, that's where they
yeah.
died. I mean,
yeah.
they didn't go outside of
yeah.
because it wasn't easy to get on a wagon and go
yeah,
through
exactly.
trees.
Yeah, exactly. So I just think the whole.
I've always said that when we're driving, I go, how hard was it with taking those covered? Like, we go up to Washington, or we go up to Pennsylvania or New York. I go, how hard was it to get on a horse and a? I knew they had roads, but they were dirt roads,
yeah.
and had to clear the trees out. Because I have a chainsaw. It's a pain to take.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like the whole thing, you know, it's like Mrs. Hughes and Mrs. Patmore talking about the telephone in her house and having it rental. And Mrs. Hughes is being so surprised that how did you figure all that out? You know, because she figures they live the same similar life. So how did she figure to do all this stuff like that? And I just think it's just kind of cool to see all that technology and different things that came into play that made us who we are today. God, could you imagine 100 years from now what those women and men are going
to
be
well,
like?
That's why I said I'd like you said you wouldn't want to do it. I'd like to be frozen at a certain point and come back in 100 years. Just see what
never thought of it that way.
What the world is like. I mean, yeah. 100 years from now, the way technology is, if I came back in 2116, how cool it'd be.
Yeah, true.
Probably have hair transplants.
Like oh my gosh.
The thing is, you just put some lotion on,
right.
Hair's back.
Right.
Not that that matters, not that important. But you know, who's going to have the toughest time with the change? It's Carson. I think Robert will adapt to change easier than Carson.
Oh, I think that absolutely.
Carson is going to have this is his life. This is what makes him who he is. That's why he's having, that's why he's having trouble with Mrs. Hughes and he expects to be treated like Robert in a way.
All right. I know what's going on, so I'm going to be quiet.
All right. So I'll hold on. One more call. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah. I love her feedback. It's so awesome. Thank you, Sarah.
It might have been a bad edit there, but I cut you off in midstream.
Yeah, because you know you don't think I'm important.
Hey, Laura, Jack, and Lady Cynthia. It is Scott finally calling in about Downton Abbey. Just wanted to say that, is it just me, or has Edith been way more appealing than Mary has been for years now? It seems like the only time Mary seems likable is when she's helping Anna, or she's likable maybe with another guy, like now the character Matthew Good is playing right now. It's very likable. You know, it just seems odd that Mary tends to be a big pain in the ass otherwise. The only other thing I wanted to mention, it's weird that they made us feel bad for Thomas, and they've been doing that all season, or maybe for longer. It's interesting because he's such a villain so often, but yet he has a sympathetic side. But do they really have to resort to a Three's Company style plot device here? I found that rather bizarre. Anyway, that's all I got.
Come and knock on my door.
Whatever.
We've been waiting for
Scott,
you.
Scott, thank you. When you said about Edith and Mary, I agree with you.
Three's Company
Please
too.
Be quiet.
I'm sorry.
But Scott, you nailed it. Yes, I agree with you.
You were saying that last week. I don't sip it today. I got to be honest with you. I sat and I watched it, and Edith, she's just beaming. She's happy.
Yes.
She's
love. It's just, it was like night and day, the whole thing. It just made, I don't know, I just think Edith just looks so appealing, the way they have her dress, her attitude, her smile, her life.
But Tom did say, he goes, well, shouldn't you be happy, when he said to Edith, well, shouldn't you be happy for her? Well, would she be happy for me?
Yeah.
They still have that bitterness.
Yes. Yeah. But I think it's a sister rivalry. But anyway, thank you, Scott. I agree with you 100%. 100%. I thought that was a great analogy, though, the Three's Cup. That was great.
Never thought about that.
I know it in there. But I really think, don't you think all villains have a soft side? Because really they're a villain because they're insecure about something.
Hitler? I'm not seeing it.
He was insecure, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure he was insecure. But right. a soft side?
Not a soft side, but there's another side to them because I think deep down they're not.
I think some people are just evil. And I'm not saying that Thomas is evil.
No. It's not the same analogy. Thomas, you're talking Hitler with Thomas. Come on.
You said, don't think everyone. I said Hitler. I just threw it out
I
there.
I didn't put him as the same scenario.
All right. Okay.
He's a different level.
All right. He was beyond hope.
Yes.
I think Thomas, you see his anger is he always wanted to be more than just what he is.
Right. And I think I don't think he's evil. I think he's a bully. I have a tendency to think he's more like a bully.
I think he lives in a world where he can't be open and free about himself. Look at today. Carson was worried that he was taking advantage of Andy.
Right.
And he, you know, back then you could be arrested for what?
Correct.
You know, who Thomas was.
And right.
Today he could get married.
Right.
Here he could get married.
Right, right.
And he, certain things where he has to, it has to be hard when you can't be who you are. I mean,
I agree.
It's ridiculous.
I don't even know what that's like, so I can't even imagine.
You can't be who you are. So he had that. He also had Mrs. What was her name?
Patmore?
Not Patmore. His evil Mrs. O'Brien.
Right.
He had her hit both.
She had him to feed.
They both fed each other's anger. Because towards the end, Mrs. O'Brien kind of changed.
Yes, she did.
She kind of changed.
Right.
She still wasn't perfect. I mean, she obviously did some bad things. I mean,
absolutely.
She's the reason Cora had a miscarriage.
Right.
lost the baby. And so I think Thomas has, but I think Thomas is just frustrated because he's a smart guy. He probably could have done more in life if someone had pushed him, you know, if he had the opportunities that, you know, say the Lady Mary had and Edith and Sybil and all these people that had, you come from the upper class, everyone should have the same access to the same opportunities in life. I mean, but just, it's just the way life is.
Right.
It's sometimes just the luck of the draw. You get born into a rich family.
Right.
It is what it is. But I think Thomas, that's why he's angry. He just, that's why he's so bitter. You saw it last week with Gwyn.
Yeah.
When he tried to throw her, was it last week or the week before where he tried to throw her under the bus? But I don't know. I hopefully he gets some peace in his life and we'll see what happens. But I don't know. I do like the three companies Three's Company analogy.
I think it's hilarious. Good job, Scott.
So if this analogy, it should be the same episode every week, right? They just change the names around.
Okay.
That's Three's Company.
Again, I know what happened, so I'm just going to be quiet.
All right, you be quiet. So,
because I don't keep talking about because I don't want to slip.
All right. Well, I can cut it back out. I don't want you spoiling me either.
I know.
This was the first episode I had seen nothing.
I thought it was last episode, the same thing.
I saw some of it. I walked in, but I didn't see the blood part.
Oh.
All right, so if you like to send some feedback, send us feedback to email it to rourdowntonabbey@gmail.com. Once again,
rourdowntonabbey@gmail.com.
Or you can give us a call at 385-309-0311.
Call anytime.
Once again, it's 385-309-0311. Call anytime. Your questions, comments, and or theories. And at this time, I'd like to thank a couple special Patreons. Zach. That's my grandson. Tack from Tokyo and Eckhart Rickner Gladfelder. Thank you for all you do, and thanks for the phone calls.
Oh, I love the phone calls. Sarah, call again. I think I would love to. I could sit talk for hours about Johnson
Abbey. Why don't you guys podcast together? No. Find a show you guys like, and maybe she watches The Midwife. That's your favorite
call
show.
Call The Midwife.
Call The Midwife.
So, have you ever seen that one? You have to see that, Sarah. Or if you haven't seen Mr. Selfridge? It's another good one.
That's the one you wanted to podcast, but I just couldn't quite get into it.
It's getting a little, well, since
don't
I went.
Anyone.
No, I'm not spoiling anything. Since I went and read the history about him, I didn't realize it was a real character in today's life.
Real human being.
So I went back and read all about it. So it's kind of not as much, as fun.
Did you read all about it? Because they say, hey, read all about it.
And then Call the Midwife. I think it's cool. Again, it's kind of like when I was born. It doesn't start at my era. I was born 60. But it starts at, like, I think 1955 or something like that.
So close enough to where you were born.
And it's just interesting. I wonder if that's – I know it wasn't that way back in my mom's day because I know she went to the hospital. But it's just kind of interesting, the whole thing.
I watch it every now and then with you. And some of the episodes are pretty cool, but some are kind of
– Yeah, and then I just watch War and Peace.
War and Peace.
I like that one.
I like Peace and War.
It was a good one. I like those kind of shows more than I did when I was – Different yeah, shows, changed, you know, because so all the others, I don't know, series seem to be all the same and just kind of.
Yeah, they are. And you're losing The Good Wife.
Oh, I'm appalled.
Well, maybe she doesn't want to do it anymore. Juliana Margulies.
Well, they said that the writers and the producers said that they always were seven seasons. They had a beginning, a middle, and an end. They're glad because if it only lasted four seasons, they still had written through the seventh.
Well, it's good to go out on top. I mean, you hate to see a show that goes, I don't like the bad shows, but Dexter.
Or ER.
ER went on way too long.
Went way
Even
too long.
Even though we gutted out both shows.
Yeah, we did.
But there are shows, some shows like Sons of Anarchy. I go, I can't do it anymore. I can't. I'm out.
But I don't know. I guess to me, if it's to produce and do a show,
it's
and
a
be
grind.
Successful. No, I'm talking about something else. And have it go on for more than 3 or 4 years is not easy. So when you're in your seventh season and it's a number one show. That doesn't make sense to get rid of it because I would think as a network person, executive, obviously you don't want to go where you're not having anybody watching it, but how many series have we watched and we're like, this is really good. They're getting X amount of things. Why are we not doing it anymore? Like well, Life with Damian Lewis.
Well, that just didn't get canceled.
But it had great viewership.
It did, but back then that wasn't, I guess, considering having 9-10 million people wasn't considered good.
Right. But I'm just saying, you see so many shows not make it. And so, how many times we go, well, let's not do the first year. We'll see if they're the second year, then we'll watch it on Netflix.
I'm not getting invested in
right,
that until
right. So I'm just saying, I understand what you're saying. You're right. Because ER and the other shows, they should have ended years ago. But to end after seven when you're this. It's one of their best shows, I think, on CBS.
But a problem is, it gets to a point, everybody has to want to do it for it to be successful.
Well, I guess everybody's contracts
if you're
are
doing, up. If you're doing something, you go, all right, I just can't think of anything. I mean, it create a process. If you get to the point where you're like going, all right, what are we going to have the good wife do to this week? Oh, wait, she already did that. Because if you watch shows, like I'm a big MASH fan, and they did start rehashing episodes by just changing it around a little bit.
Wow.
And you get to a point where your creative juices are gone. And plus, you always think, well, I can do something else. Now, some of these people may not ever achieve the success they had on The Good Wife, but some will. Some will be able to go on and do something.
Oh, she will, because she's a great actress.
Well, she is. I'm not saying it's just – I'm saying everybody involved, the writers, the actors,
yeah,
the directors, producers. It's just – I think it's hard, that grind, that same thing day. I mean, it's 16, 18-hour days.
No, I understand. No, I understand all that. I'm just saying I don't get
that. Like, make it sound like, you know, we all have to go get up – everyone, listen, we have to get up and go to work every day. And
right.
The grind of doing
right,
that.
Right, we do the same thing every day, but – I don't know.
But, how many times have I gone, God, I want to do something else every day?
But I think CBS is in a position to only maybe do 7 seasons because they have probably of all the networks, the most number one shows.
Yeah.
Than, you know, NBC and ABC.
Right.
So, anyway.
Anyway, but I hated to bring that up, but The Good Wife.
I'm very upset.
Spoilers.
It's my favorite thing to watch on Sunday nights at 9 o'clock.
You do like The Good Wife.
Yes.
But you like Billions, don't you? You don't like to see Damian Lewis as the bad guy.
I don't like to see the bad guy. And they're making him look so, like, ugly and not as sexy. And I don't like it. They
well,
like,
when
make
he
him
becomes
look warm.
James Bond, he'll be...
I don't like it.
He'll
bit.
Be sexy. Not all right, right, guys. I have to record a Survivor podcast, so...
Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. So, I'm just going to toss me aside.
Hasta luego. And goodbye.
Goodbye.